Welcome to the Friends with Money podcast, brought to you by Money Magazine, creating financial freedom for Australians since 1999.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Friends with Money podcast. My name is Michelle Baltazar, Editor-in-Chief here at Money Magazine. Thank you for joining us. Today, we're talking about renting, specifically finding a good place to rent when there are so few in the market and you usually get less than 5 minutes to check out a unit or a house in the midst of other would-be renters. So to talk us through this is Ben Pretty, who is a techpreneur and the co-founder of rentrabbit.com.au, a new online platform where renters or tenants can leave rave or grave reviews. Ben, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Michelle. I'm excited to be here.
No worries. So, Ben, what is RentRabbit and how can it help renters save money?
The easiest way to sum it up is it's a known fact that we can't trust rental listings. Whether that be that you turn up to a rental viewing and the place is looking nothing like the photos, which happens a lot, or you sign a lease only to find out that it's full of mold, which is very topical at the moment, or that the repairs aren't done. So RentRabbit is changing the game for renters. It allows renters to search from over 2 million rental properties and read real reviews from previous tenants.
That's fantastic. I know, talk about mold, right? You just don't know what you're going to get. And sometimes a fresh coat of paint can hide so many sins.
It's funny you mentioned, like, because we've just got someone, one of our community, we're quite active on socials and people send in a lot of photos of what they're currently going through. And earlier today we received one where a renter had been in the property for over a year. Their clothes had got mass amount of molds on it. So they decided to move out of that property and stay in a hotel until they could find another property. And the cleaners just came in and just went over and scrubbed the wall, which is the story, and it's back on the market.
Oh my goodness. So I've been a renter myself. Now I don't know if this is a good thing or a bad thing, but I've got a mortgage now. But back when I was renting, it was really tricky trying to find the right place, right location, because you really can't knock on the door of your neighbors and say, hey, you know, is this a good spot? So tell me, what are the kind of feedback or reviews are uploaded on RentRabbit?
It's an interesting one. So we're not like a Yelp or a TripAdvisor in that fact. Our forms are very much detailed around the lived experience, and that's the review form that the renters complete. So it'll talk about things like, did you live there as a solo or as a family? So the type of living arrangement, what the costs were, the actual photos of the places. It includes reviews of agents, landlords, but as you also said, the location. So how did you enjoy the location? Was it kid-friendly? Is it great for pets? And then we'll typically see renters fill out over 150 characters worth of information about how they experienced it for the 12 months. And they'll go into details such as, oh, there's, you know, a small coffee shop around the corner,
right,
or it's really close to the train station. It's a really friendly area for families. So they're really in-depth. I think one of the biggest misconceptions about a platform like this is that reviews are negative.
Yes.
We get, on average, we have like a 5-star rating for properties, which renters can check out as well. They're averaging around 3.5 stars for rental properties. And what we'll typically see is renters leaving 1.4 reviews per person. So they'll come in and they'll write a really good review about a good experience they've had at a property. And they'll also then share the negative experiences as other properties. So we're finding that renters are appreciating the platform as a way to, hey, this property is of really high standard and therefore high value, and this property, not so much.
So in many ways, it's ideal for someone who who's happy to pay maybe an extra $50, but then they could go onto a platform where they can validate that that is a good spot, or that there has been, you know, a positive experience from a previous tenant, for example. Is that what you're finding?
Yeah, absolutely. They're validating, I guess, the lived experience and utilizing it to even shortlist properties so that they're not having to turn up or leave work early in order to inspect a property. They can really have a good look at the property's background and history before they turn up, and they're armed with more information, which might assist not only during the application process and the property screening process if you're looking as a tenant, but also information during your condition reports. So what do you want to look out for once you've signed that lease?
But I'm curious, what about the real estate agent? Have you had any kind of hate mails or, you know, phone calls from irate landlords?
It's a funny one. So a lot of renters are landlords, so they might own investment properties.
Right.
So they see the benefit as a great landlord in having a five-star property. Now, we've seen rent increases over the last 6 to 12 months hit hard. And, you know, there's an ability here with which allows good rental properties to maintain a good price potentially, and the not so good not necessarily be able to demand such increases. The agents have been interesting. A lot of it's, well, it was bound to happen, is the comments that we've received. But yeah, we've had some landlords that were saying, oh, well, that have emailed us. And one example is a lady had emailed us as a landlord and said, well, I don't want people to review my property because, you know, it's just going to affect what rent I can get. Well, yes, it's a service that you're providing. Providing a house, providing a home, is although it's an investment property, it is a societal service at the end of the day. So it's been interesting, and it's not as negative at all as you'd see from the outset. I think mainly because the form itself is quite detailed around removing that negativity.
Now, tell us a little bit more about the model. Is there a fee involved? Do you have to be a member? Do you have to be a subscriber?
As far as the type of people that we attract, it's statistics say 88% of people now read online reviews before making a purchasing decision. So, you know, we do it whether it's to book a holiday or book a restaurant, which we might spend a couple of $100. A lease is a financial commitment that requires due diligence. It's a financial commitment. It's a 12-month contract. And on average, it's costing the average Aussie $26,000 a year. So from that perspective, it's an integral part of any application process. The model's an interesting one. The best way to explain it is, I guess, review websites have been known to use reviews to drive the traffic and monetize the valuable data that the consumers are providing. We believe that there's an opportunity here to give renters back some of that money for sharing their experiences. So our business model is simple. The platform's actually built on a freemium model. So any renter can go on and look up reviews and they'll see the overall property rating. And also the top tips. We've got top tips left by the previous tenant. And that'll generally be suburb tips or whether it was a noisy place or things like that. To get the full insights, it costs $30 to download that report. However, we give $20 back to the renter that left that report. So we keep $10 to service the platform, $20 gets allocated back to the renter, and they can use that to purchase future reports, or they can withdraw the money, or we're looking at different things like donating that money to charity because some of the feedback's been, well, I'm not here to earn the money.
Yes.
I'm here to leave the reviews. That's how it works.
That is so 2022, a little bit of profit sharing, even on something as simple and basic as providing a review on somewhere that you've lived in. So that's really exciting. And I'm actually interested in knowing more about the business side of RentRabbit. A lot of money readers are small business owners themselves or entrepreneurs. This is kind of your second startup idea, is it? So you had one previously. So what is the next step? So say, for example, someone out there is listening to this and think, oh, this is a great idea. Maybe this is something I can invest in. Is there a way? Do you have like an angel investor club or something like that?
Yeah, so we're about to launch our first crowdfunding raise, which we're really, really excited about. That'll be coming up very shortly. So if people are interested, more than welcome to head to the website, www.rentrabbit.com.au, and we'll be posting and allowing and sharing all of our information regarding that.
And I was thinking, while most people would use this to kind of think about renting a place, what about prospective property buyers? Do you find that people are also going onto the platform for another set of reasons?
Absolutely. So the advantage of making the reviews paid is we do two things. So we verify all of the reviews. So we ask for proof of tenancy. So they're not anonymous from that perspective, but when the review is published on the website and downloaded, there's no name attached to it. So the renter that leaves the review is given a RentRabbit ID. So this means as well that when property investors and they're interested in using the platform to find out if they're going to buy an investment property, what were the renters saying? What are the issues? Because you're going to uncover a lot more than a general buyer's inspection. You're going to see the complete history of the property. And as well as the agent, they can go on and see. However, they can't see the name of the person who left the review. It just says it's been left within the last 5 years. So that's partly to protect the renter and help us verify the reviews through the proof of living and fraud detection system that we run. And of course, the property investor or landlord or agent have to purchase the full review and the renter gets the benefit of that.
Ben, this feels like a home loan application now. There's definitely quite a vetting process behind the scenes, right? Because I've looked at the reviews. There's definitely a couple of paragraphs to highlight what it's like, but it's good to know that you do ask for a proof of tenancy. And you haven't come across any problems? People are quite, you know, transparent about that and they'll just give you the forms?
Yeah, absolutely. I think identity fraud is big and people understand that when they do a lot of applications that they have to provide details of who they are. And it's very important for us that we do verify their actual people and that they lived at that property. Without that, the integrity of the system wouldn't be there. So that's always been high on our priority list, and it's absolutely core to our structure.
And what's next? Do you have any new tools that you're kind of developing, or what can people expect?
We're lucky because we've built a really big and engaged community, and they're always sharing their ideas of what they need, their pain points, this type of stuff. So we've got a whole range of resources. So it's not just rental reviews on the back end when renters sign up with us. They get access to resources. So what forms they need to do to complete when lodging a repair, for instance, and that's different in each state, and each state legislation is different. So there are some government mandated forms. So we talk through and guide renters through that in our resources section. Things like free templates for, it might be pet resumes, it might be renter cover letters, pet resumes.
That's
yeah,
hilarious.
We've got those. They work really well. Unfortunately, most of the applications these days have do you have a pet or not? And even when the landlord signs up with the property manager, they'll say, do you want pets or not? Legislation has moved, which is good. And that's probably just recognition that over about, don't quote me on it, but it's 60% or greater of Aussies have a pet.
Especially after COVID.
Yeah, exactly. And we've seen pets on the rise and, you know, there's no evidence to suggest that pets create more damage. You're looking for good tenants, not necessarily bad tenants without pets. So you take a good tenant with a pet any day. So we do have pet resumes, which just outline exactly what your pet is, what age it is, that sort of stuff. Just some tools to help renters. We have Suburb Insights, which we've launched. So you can search suburbs within Australia and see the trends in the market and understand what rent is doing in those areas. So whether it comes for rent negotiation, we also have guides on how to handle that.
That is a good one. So we do get a lot of money readers asking us, so how do I make sure that my landlord doesn't, you know, charge me an extra $100? But nobody knows how much what the average rent is in their area.
And we also do really unique things like if the renter, we've got a section in their details where they can tell us when their lease is about to expire. And we use that information to provide them with information. So one of the cool things is we do is we tell you your lease is going to expire. We give you some information about periodic and fixed leases because a lot of people don't understand that and the, you know, I guess the differences between those two and whether you should resign for another fixed term. So we do all that sort of stuff where we provide a lot of detail, a lot of information for the renters.
So tell me again, how big is the Rent Rabbit community right now?
Yeah, we've got 20,000 renters. We launched our MVP alpha product, I guess we call it, in February last year. Been slowly increasing since then.
Amazing. Well, congratulations on being the founder of this new and exciting platform. I think it's definitely very valuable for a lot of us who, you know, trying to make sure that we're not locked into a terrible financial decision. You know, I've looked at the reviews and things like doors that don't work. We talked about water damage already. And a few odds and ends. And we haven't even talked about noisy neighbors or pets gone wild. But I think that's all we have time for today. Thank you again for joining us, Ben.
Brilliant. Thank you so much, Michelle.
No dramas. So before we go, don't forget that if you enjoy listening to the Friends with Money podcast, we'd love for you to recommend it to your own friends and family. Or you can help us out by leaving a review on iTunes or the Apple Podcast app. You can also send in any questions, comments, or even topics, or what you think of Rent Rabbit on our dedicated email, which is podcast@moneymag.com.au. And finally, make sure you head over to moneymag.com.au for all the latest financial news and stories. That's it for this episode. I'm Michelle Baltazar. Bye for now.
Thanks for listening to the Friends with Money podcast. For credible, independent, and easy to understand financial commentary, visit moneymag.com.au. Please remember that the views and opinions expressed in this podcast are general in nature, and further independent advice and research based on your personal circumstances should be sought before making an investment decision.